Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home.
To the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Country Roads, Take Me Home. You don't like the song?
I like the chorus. I can't tell you the last time or if there's any time I've listened to the song start to finish. To find that as the intro to it.
You said it was painful to listen
to the start of that song.
Brutal, you said.
Great. There you go. I said brutal, painful. I keep going. It was tough to listen to. I think.
Why are you so offended when we disagree?
I'm not offended. I'm just giving you my opinion. Again, you don't know me. But at the same time.
I don't think I know you, but I think I can tell when you're offended.
That the Texans, I think, Texans Twitter account, had the players sing each of those individual.
Oh, did they? That's kind of cool.
This morning. It would be interesting to sync that up with the tune itself because those guys were.
Not good. Whenever West Virginia wins a game, they sing this after the game. It's pretty cool.
And then they burn a couch.
And they burn a couch, amongst other things. They're in Morgantown, West Virginia.
Like a drink with McAfee.
It's actually really beautiful up there.
I've heard nothing but, like, regardless of the small town atmosphere of wherever they are in West Virginia, even the first time they went there, the Greenbrier, they say, is like top of the charts in terms of everything. The way they take care of you, the way they go over the top to, like, with customer service and all the amenities they have up there. They said it's amazing.
I've never been to the Greenbrier. I'm not bougie enough to be there. But I flew into Pittsburgh and then drove to Morgantown last year, which was the second time I've been to Morgantown. I don't remember much about the first visit, but that drive's beautiful. It was in the winter, so there was snow on the mountains and stuff. Yeah. It was really nice.
They say there's a ton of trees and just the kind of terrain. D'Antoni lives there.
That's right.
Mike D'Antoni.
Went to Marshall, right?
Yep. Nick Faldo. I think a lot.
Go Cougs.
Bubba Watson. They're starting to, like, to catch on to the fact that they just, it's like a top secret way of kind of luxury life at the Greenbrier.
Yeah, it's really, really pretty there, according to all accords. So what's piquing your interest at the Greenbrier today? I'm excited for them to play a football game. I can't imagine the starters will play.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't think so.
Yeah, I can't imagine that they would play. But it'd be fun to see Davis Mills do his thing. Maybe the rookie receivers play.
Talking about how well Davis Mills is playing at camp.
Yeah, I was reading Jonathan Alexander's takeaways or whatever this morning. Writes for the Houston Chronicle, does fantastic work. He was like, yeah, that might be a good sign, but it might be a bad sign that the number twos on defense are not good.
Yeah.
So he's like, Mills and Higgins are destroying all the Texans' backup secondary. It's like, cool, I hope they stay healthy. I hope all these guys don't get hurt.
Yeah, because the other thing that crossed my mind when we were talking about the other day about is it a good thing or bad thing that CJ in the number one offense has to go up against maybe the best defense in the NFL, like maybe you give him some reps against the number two defense just to give him some confidence to say, hey, when we're playing anybody other than our defense, things work. We can get some tempo going. We can get some momentum going. We can gain some yards.
Yeah. So what has piqued your interest at the Greenbrier? 713-780-3776. Walkthrough day? which Christian Harris was walking. I love the all these people that were like freaking out. Christian Harris is walking through with the ones today. That was out there. He's a walk-through all-pro. Like, why does that matter? Why does it matter that he's walking through with the first team? He's certainly not going to play against Minnesota. So, like, Nick Chubb wasn't there, which hopefully he's not hurt. Hopefully that was a veteran off day, which they do give veterans off days on, like, walk-through days because it's a natural time to do it because they're not doing anything on walk-through day. But it blew my mind how the reactions that we saw because Christian Harris was walking through with the first team.
If you have an off day when you're off site, does that mean that you just go to your room and hang out, or do you have to report?
No, I mean, I guess it's different strokes for different folks. I did watch Hard Knocks yesterday, and they go to like one of the colleges up there for their training camp. So they're gone. They're in the dorms. Uh-huh. They're living in the dorms. But then they have like the friends and family weekend where they can come to practice, and then like it shows them going to an ice cream parlor, and so I think you can get into stuff if you want.
Okay, all right. Yeah, from the standpoint of the Christian Harris thing, yeah. People need to slow down, but I guess if you want to look at it from a positive glass half full, hey, yesterday he was in full pads and he was on the field, but he didn't practice. So today the next progression would be he walked through. He was there to walk through. He was there to actually take part in something that was scheduled at practice. Now maybe after the weekend he'll actually practice.
Yeah, I do think it's a good sign. I don't know if he's going to be a first teamer. Like right from day one. I think the overreaction to that's I think it's too early to tell. But it is promising in the sense that it looks like he's becoming closer and closer to being back on the football field.
I mean, that's the thing that's been chapping my rear end is the fact that this calf muscle thing is like not just lingering. It has been way, way, way too long, and he's still not back on the field.
It's really weird. It's really weird. Like, I mean, if the Astros were like handling Christian Harris, he would have been practicing day one. But it's weird how he got hurt last year, like going through, you know, running and stuff, agility test and all that stuff. Then he was shut down for majority of the year, came back late, but then really wasn't a factor. And then he gets to camp and it's still not 100% healthy. It's really, really weird. It's mysterious.
Especially with all of our experience talking about all these injuries that all these athletes have had, you would think that even if he tore his calf, that it wouldn't have taken this long.
It shouldn't.
Right.
No,
so
shouldn't.
That's where the frustration lies for me.
Like it feels like there must have been something in the offseason, like that he had setback, he re-aggravated it. Like why wouldn't he be ready? If he's able to be in a uniform last year in the playoffs, how is he not ready for camp?
Like the only thing is that there's something going on that we don't know about. Like it's not just a pulled calf, like the Tari Eason stuff that ended up turning out to be whatever that very rare. Whatever he had going with his lower leg, that maybe it was something like that. Like all of a sudden, it wasn't just a pulled calf muscle anymore. They just haven't told us that. But otherwise, we're right to be asking questions or at least looking at it going, why is it taking so long?
Yeah, it's weird. Offensive line, first team through walkthrough. Does it matter? Who knows? Tay Ursary was at left tackle. Lakin Tomlinson was at left guard. Jake Andrews was at center. Ed Ingram was at right guard. And Titus Howard was at right tackle, which leads to the question that you had for us.
Yeah.
Are you good with moving multiple guys with Cam Robinson's injury as opposed to just sliding someone else into left tackle?
You know, you hear D'Amico talk, and he was talking and he addressed it, and he was basically talking about the fact that, look, he likes whether he likes the element of surprise, but he likes the element of versatility and the guys that are able to adjust quickly and see the versatility of the different guys he has. This kind of goes to me, the first thing that struck me as is goes against what they've been preaching, which is, you know, the power of the fist is stronger than the individual fingers, and they want everybody to be coming together and all this continuity. Well, if you get guys that are starting to settle in, and until Robinson got hurt, the talk was that this offensive line was starting to get some cohesion. They looked like they were coming together a little bit. And then the minute that Robinson goes down, it's not just putting someone else at left tackle, it's, you know, rotating and changing multiple positions. For me, I questioned when D'Amico said that about, like, if everybody else has continuity, the rest of the offensive line, and maybe it's just that you don't have anybody else that can play left tackle.
Yeah, that would be. So what's your answer?
To me, I would have rather kept everybody else in their position if I had another left tackle, especially if I know that Cam Robinson, it's not going to be a long-term, you know, injury. Then I would have rather kept everybody else where they've been playing and put someone else at left tackle.
Okay, since these games don't matter and stuff. So yes, it'd be different if it was like week three of the regular season.
Correct.
Like at that point, you have to play your best five. But because it's week one of the preseason, So what?
Yeah, then I don't want to, again, guys are changing positions and playing positions, maybe out of position to some degree, to where they're starting to settle in, and now we're going to take them out of that kind of starting to get comfortable mode and put them in a different position because you're adjusting for a preseason game.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I wonder if they look at this as like, maybe this is their best starting offensive line. Like, yeah, Cam Robinson was our free agent acquisition. I can't be that. I don't know. I think that they want to have a game plan of just in case Robinson goes down. Like, this is what we're going to look like if Robinson goes down in week four, so let's rep for it. Let's prepare for it. Let's be ready to go in case this happens. I think that would be their mindset, but I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, because the other thing that scares me is if it's not Ingram, it's Juice that they've been working at right guard. And I don't like the thought of either one of those guys.
Yeah, I'd rather have Ingram at right guard, though, than like Zach Taylor at left tackle. Not that it matters at this point of the season. I'm not suggesting that. But, you know, if those were my options in week three of the NFL season, I'd rather this configuration than trying to roll out Zach Thomas at left tackle.
Yeah, I think the other thing that bothers me about all this is it maybe tells us even more so what we were talking about yesterday, that Fisher's nowhere close to being a guy that you can count on.
Or Juice, I don't think.
Yeah, that's terrible for guys that were drafted where they were drafted.
I think there might be a chance that Juice doesn't make the team. Fisher, to me, would make it just because he was second rounder last year. It'll be interesting to see those backup spots. I want Will Hernandez on this team, though. That's what I'm banging the table for. He tore his ACL early last season, but he's been a really good football player his entire life. He might not even be ready to go for week one, but it's one of those, okay, whenever he's ready, he's probably our best right guard. It gives you some options in case you do have an injury like this where, okay, Ursary, you're going to bump out to left tackle. Okay, Titus Howard, you're going to bump out to right tackle. Well, then there you go. You have Will Hernandez, who would be your best guard, ready to go week four of the season. I want him to be signed. And you could probably even hide him on the IR or PUP, whichever one of the two you have to. I forget which one matters in the preseason.
His experience matters.
Yeah, I would love to have Will Hernandez.
His ability would matter if
he
can get back to 100%. And I don't know what I don't know about the medicals. But it makes sense to me to do something like that because you're not trying to make the playoffs or win the Super Bowl in week one, two, and three. But if you can get him back in, you know, somewhere in the first quarter of the season and the rest of the season, he's there for you. He's better than what you got, probably.
I want them to sign Will Hernandez. Hot take, I'd rather them have signed Will Hernandez than Nick Chubb. Cash it or trash it.
The way it looks right now at running back, I hope Joe Mixon is back by week one.
How about the way he looks at guard?
Yeah.
I would have preferred them sign Hernandez than Nick Chubb. I think Hernandez adds more value to this team than Warsh
still both
over the hill. I their cap situation's interesting. Like, it would have been similar money, Chubb and Hernandez. That stinks. Anything else pique your interest? Texans training camp?
CJ talking after practice was interesting about the fact, you know, going through that Kaylee is essentially just like McVay and that, you know, they're starting to come together now and they're starting to get some more chemistry. He even addressed going up against what he said was the best defense in the NFL and the Texans defense and maybe some of the impact that that's had on them, but that it's coming together. I hope that's a positive because we've talked about how the defense has been dominant and the offense has been struggling.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. How about you, Brian? Anything pique your interest, BMAC?
All the things you guys talked about. All right, next.
What else do you have?
You cut me off. It was all the things you guys have talked about. It was the fact that Cam Robinson apparently would be considered a participant today, so that maybe that means that injury is not so bad. So this might all be a moot point, and he's able to return pretty soon. But the Blake Fisher thing's concerning, and then the whole thing with Christian Harris was kind of amusing.
Yeah, all pro walkthrough.
If and when do we see Brown on the right side of the offensive line, or don't we?
When?
Yeah. I mean, they keep saying he's a veteran, you know, he's coming off injury, but he's massive, and everybody keeps talking about, you know, not just the way that he's been able to kind of mentor Ursary, but that at a certain point he could still be a piece of this puzzle at the offensive line.
I don't think he's healthy yet. I mean, he's not ready to go. Huh. Yeah, he's not ready. He's hurt.
Well, I mean, he was hurt all last year.
He's coming back.
Okay, there's money spent. I hope that at some point he is not hurt.
I don't think he's not active on the roster right now. He's on the PUP or whatever.
But I'm just saying because when I've listened to the podcast and or the Texans radio guys talk about it, he's in the building every day and he's massive and he looked great and I can't wait to see him out there. And then you just don't know if you're ever going to see him out there.
But that's just Texans propaganda. Yeah. I mean, they say it about 90% of the roster.
No, he's on the PUP list. Like, he can't practice. I don't know. I don't know what his return date. Like, to me, it's kind of the same thing as Will Hernandez, where here's a guy that gives us a chance to have some depth and flexibility later in the season, but that's kind of it.
I think he's a guy that could be more talented than some of the guys you have on your roster as offensive linemen right now.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends. Like, how much he has left in the tank, right, what he feels like coming off of injury. All right, 713-780-ESPN. There's a Houston Texan on today's top 100 in the NFL. Obviously, it's Will Anderson. Will Anderson's the second one. How many more will be on that top 100 that are Houston Texans? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
What the hell is this?
That's a Sicilian message. It means Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Were you dunking on Blankers?
Jeremy doesn't care, bit. Brian. Why did you have to do that?
Is that what happened? He was dunking on you?
You would have brought it up if you were right.
I actually just put in Godfather phrase with the fishes, and it says the Godfather that was the phrase Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes. So he was right.
So Brian was right in this argument?
Yes.
Okay, I lost focus.
Both are correct, but he said
no, only one can be correct.
Specifically, in which he got
both are correct.
That is quite a spin to say both are correct.
I just told you that when I looked it up initially, it said both can
be
correct.
But we're talking about the quote from the movie.
I was talking about in general the phrase.
The phrase is from the movie.
Why? Because everybody that says it knows it came from The Godfather and has seen The Godfather. It's not true.
That's where it came from.
Everyone, but the people use it in general speak every
day.
You're
the only person. This has gone too far. We can move on.
I'm enjoying it.
Thinking through the thought, though, that he swims with the fishes. If you're swimming, you're fine. You're alive. If you're just, like, the idea is sleeps with the fishes, you're out. You're done. I don't think swims with the fishes makes any sense.
It's the phrase because they actually killed somebody and throw him in the water. He's swimming with the fishes. In their speak, in organized crime, that speak means – it says both phrases are the exact same meaning.
Who said that?
So when I looked it up.
But what was your source? The source matters.
Was it Google AI?
Yeah.
Yeah, Google AI ain't great.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll look it up somewhere else. Google if AI they both have the same meaning, not everybody has seen Godfather or pulling it from Godfather. They use the phrase that they feel comfortable
with. I feel like people know the phrase comes from. Mostly from that show.
That's the movie. Source. That's the origin.
For most people.
I think, period.
Yeah. So to be clear, because I've haven't really paid attention, it's sleep with the fishes?
Sleeps with the fishes. That's the correct term.
We're okay with the plural aspect of this?
Correct term.
It shouldn't be sleep with the fish.
The only correct term is sleeps with the fishes.
They're both the correct term.
They can't unless both you, be correct.
Unless you're a Godfather expert.
According to who?
According to the movie clip we just played, it sleeps with the fishes.
No, but
is that Blankers? God? Is God the Godfather movie the God of all decisions on phrases?
It is if it's the source of the origin.
Yeah, I'm curious your source here, Blankers.
I'm going to look it up to see other
places. You looked up another place. I haven't done it yet. But should we be focused? Are we burying the lead
all right,
here?
MLA Branham.
Shouldn't it be sleep with the fish?
No, because there's not a singular. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is it sleep with the fish?
I don't think people
the gangsters don't know the plural and the past participle.
I don't think people are watching The Godfather for correct grammar and.
Yet here we are.
MLA, yeah.
Yet here we are. 75, it sleeps with the fishes, dang it. I think we're talking about the movie, right? Texter, yeah. Y'all still talking about this ish, LOL. I know, I'm just as frustrated as you are, Texter, quite frankly. But Brian had a dunk on Blankers.
No, you're like, I was going to make a Joker reference, but you wouldn't get it. But I think you like to egg on the debate.
No, you're the one who played the rejoin.
I know, but Grammarist.com okay?
I don't know if Grammarist I trust with phrases. Maybe Fraserist.
Is that a thing?
No, I don't know. know, I don't think Grammarist would be the source that it would need to be here.
So you don't like to egg on things for the drama?
I do, yeah.
So that's my point.
Yeah, but you definitely dunked on him.
No, I definitely dunked, you didn't speed away the conclusion of said debate.
I was a little bit unsure who was right, to be honest. I didn't know who was right in this argument. So I was trying to find out who won the debate.
If you think that it's just because it was the phrase that was used in the movie The Godfather, but everywhere else you look, including the free dictionary, says sleeps with the fishes means it's a gangster cliche phrase to be murdered and have one's body disposed in a river, so lake, or ocean.
Your sources are Free Dictionary, Grammarly, and Google AI.
He's going to a movie and that's better?
Well, I think... Well,
when
yes,
both are commonly used that's phrases the for the same meaning?
But where is it commonly used from? Is it commonly used from for Free Dictionary and Grammarly? Or is it free? Or is it commonly used because of the movie Godfather? Like, where is it mostly known from?
If I hear people use it that good I look answer. At and wonder if they saw the movie The Godfather, I don't think that's where they're getting it from.
People who use that phrase, do you think they mostly get it from The Godfather or mostly somewhere else?
They get it from hearing other people say it.
Okay. All right. Tomato, tomato.
The other people who then also saw The Godfather.
Jesus. Trent Williams, number 45 player in the NFL in their top 100. I guess they released this since I put this in here. But Trent Williams, very good offensive lineman, very, very good. One of the better left tackles in football. Doesn't he reside in Houston? I think
yes.
he resides
yes,
in Houston.
He does. He had an issue with his dogs a few years ago.
I thought you were about to say his daughters.
No.
I was like, man, that's
he had some
up.
Dogs that were quite powerful that were getting out of the yard a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
That's an issue. So good. And then another Houston Texan, Will Anderson, at number 46. He's the second Houston Texan to be on this list. The first one, of course, was Joe Mixon. So there's now two current Texans and two former Texans that are in the top 100. Laremy Tunsil, John Grenard, the former Texans, current Texans, Joe Mixon, Will Anderson. First question here. Mm-hmm. Well, number he's 46. First time he's appeared on this list, which these lists, we've learned that the players don't know ball. But anyways, Will Anderson, 46. Will this be his peak in the NFL top 100? They do this every year. Will 46 be his peak, or is there, will he, I'm not asking is there room to grow, because we know there's room to grow, but will he be ever ranked higher than 46? How high? What is his ceiling?
Well, depending on where Myles Garrett and some of the guys like that, where their peaks would be, I would say probably top 25.
Okay. Yeah, I think he can become a top 20 guy. I don't think this will be his peak. I believe he will be a top 20 guy. I think it can happen as soon as next season. Where would you put him? Where's his ceiling at, Brian?
Yeah, I would agree top 20. I mean, quarterbacks and skill players generally make up the top 10. So unless he's thought of as like Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, like the best of the best, which obviously is a lofty goal, then I would probably put his cap at top 20.
There you go. Yeah, so I think we're all similar to that. The other question I have with this, how many more Houston Texans will be on this list? Because now we know the 45. There's been two. We have the top 44 to go. How many Texans will join, almost called Amari Williams, Will Anderson and Joe Mixon on the NFL top 100?
I am going to say 3.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go 4.
Stingley, Stroud. Those feel obvious. Who are your other two?
Nico,
yeah.
And I think possibly Danielle Hunter.
Yeah, that's 4.
Yeah, I'm just curious if all of them are going to make it.
If one of those guys misses, that's a major snub. Major snub.
I'd agree, but it wouldn't be the first time on these lists.
Certainly
like,
not.
That happens every year.
This is a players poll, and we realize that the greatest population of people that don't know ball are players. We've learned that.
Yes.
But if Danielle Hunter doesn't make this list, it's a massive snub. If Stroud doesn't make this list, massive snub. Stingley has to be top 10. Nico, massive snub. Any of those four, massive snubs.
I don't think Stingley's going to be top 10.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I don't think he's going to be top 10.
I don't know, man.
The question of the guys that we're talking about is, who are the most likely to not be on it? Is it Hunter or Stroud?
I think that that's a good question. Who is the most likely of the four to be
because
snubbed?
We've talked about the fact that they're kind of quarterback friendly on this list, because wasn't Tua on the list?
Tua was on this list.
Yeah.
I would say because of the quarterback bias we've seen on this list, I would say that Stroud is more likely to make it than Hunter.
So I
think that the most likely to be snubbed, if one of them is snubbed, would be Danielle.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I was leaning, because they've been so quarterback friendly. But that's a hard snub to make with the seasons that he's had the last couple of years.
There's no way in my mind that any of these four get snubbed. I would be stunned if one of these four gets snubbed. Like, I mean, how is Danielle Hunter not on the list?
And you can't take Nico off.
I mean, I think Danielle Hunter, okay, let's again, like, the players are voting for this. The players are voting for this. Mm-hmm. Would the players vote Danielle Hunter over Will Anderson?
Over Will Anderson?
Yeah, because Will Anderson's 46. We know that. I think that they would, because what you see from players is usually they're slower to move. They're more veteran. They have a bias towards veterans, and there's also the bias towards quarterbacks. So I think that Will Anderson being 46, I think Danielle Hunter is going to be coming soon, like somewhere between 40 and 45, in my opinion.
Yep.
I mean, Nico had a better year than Tyreek last year. Tyreek was 47. What other receivers have been on this list recently?
Terry McLaurin was a recent.
I would have Nico above Terry.
Yeah, I would as well.
Terry was 52.
There again, though, veteran with Terry's
Nico's
got
2 years. I know this is his fifth year coming up, but he's had 2 good years. I would have Nico ahead of Terry.
You would also have Nico over Brian Thomas Jr., which may play into the veteran thing, but Brian Thomas Jr. was pretty damn good last year.
He was.
Would you have Nico ahead of Brian Thomas Jr.?
I would not.
You wouldn't?
You wouldn't?
No.
I think from a talent perspective, I think Brian Thomas Jr. is more talented than Nico.
I think Nico could put up better numbers because he's in a better system and a better quarterback, but I think Brian Thomas is
bigger, stronger yards after first contact, too.
Who's
any
that?
High points? I think Nico is.
I think you might be sleeping on Brian Thomas Jr. a little bit.
He'd also be ahead of Malik
Nico's
Neighbors.
A big body receiver.
So is Brian Thomas Jr. And Brian Thomas Jr. is pretty good yak, too.
Yeah, I think he's also 6'4".
I think
they
have pretty similar bodies,
yeah,
if memory serves. And I know a lot about wide receiver bodies. Brian Thomas Jr. 6'3", 210. Nico Collins is 6'4", 220. Okay. So roughly the same. Nico is a little bigger, though, to your point. Yeah, I think that all four will be on here. I'd be shocked if none of them, or if any of them are snubbed. Texter Tyler and Conroe says Stroud should get snubbed over Hunter, in my opinion. If I were making the top 100, I would agree with that, Tyler. We've learned that there is a quarterback bias here. It's a crime that Lassiter isn't in the top 100. I think that speaks to the veteran bias, because I think Lassiter's
he's coming
top 100-ish player.
Yeah, in the next year or so, I think when you look at that secondary, there's a couple guys that you don't sleep on either guy. Bullock's, but for sure, Lassiter's going to be get a whole lot of praise, I think, in the next 12 months.
The fishes is correct. Scientifically speaking, when you talk about multiple species at the same time, you can say there are many different fishes. So there you go. Don't knock me, man. I'm ESL. Take it easy. It's always been sleep with the fishes. No one has ever said swim with the fishes.
Which is false.
Texter sent a screenshot. The phrase alludes to the idea of the victim's body being lost to the depths of the ocean of other bodies of water, never to be found. Why does Blankers get so butthurt when he's wrong about stuff? Dude, come on, Blankers, you're wrong. It's only people that say it are the people who have seen and love The Godfather. Get out of here with that. Blankers, take the L. Everyone knows it's from The Godfather.
Cool. U.S. Dictionary says...
Get a new dictionary.
USDictionary.com says that the definition of swimming with the fishes is exactly what...
I love the sources that you cite.
I'm looking for credibility with every source that I'm looking at.
I look elsewhere other than the dictionary.
What is the most credible source Blankers has used so far? Free Dictionary, U.S. Dictionary, Parsley or whatever you used?
I guess Google AI.
Yeah. Texture, Brian Thomas Jr. is absolutely better than Nico. People also forgot BTJ can fly on top of having a big body.
Is that Ocho?
I don't know Ocho's number by heart. Mm. He didn't sign at Ocho, so Ocho usually signs his name.
He does.
Brian Thomas Jr. is a specimen, man. The dude is a freak. I think Nico will have a more productive year. I don't know, man. Brian Thomas Jr. was nuts last year. He had a massive season. Now, does Travis Hunter eat into that a little bit? Maybe. But does Liam Cohen amplify that a little bit? Maybe. Does being Duval in the second year of his career amplify that a little bit? I don't know. I'm doing this with my hand, but I am.
Now you're committed to it.
Yeah. I like BTJ, man. I'm a BTJ fan. Call me a stan.
Would
a
you
BTJ.
Put Nico ahead of Malik Nambers?
No. Physically talented? No.
Well, Malik Nambers is already on the list. I mean, that's kind of the point. I think if
it's a little different, though.
Sure.
The list is different than, like, the Branham big board.
That's fair.
Until Nico got hurt, his numbers were
best
one of the top receivers in the league.
But are we talking numbers and productivity, or are we talking about, like, physical ability and talent? Those are two different conversations, in my opinion.
I just think that we're talking about players grading players that Nico's going to be graded higher or regarded higher right now?
That's why we would need to know the conversation. Like, what exactly are let's define it here. If we're defining, like, these guys are going to be ranked in the NFL top 100, I 100% agree with you. I think that the NFL players will have Nico Collins ranked higher than Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. 100% agree. I'm 100% agreeance with you. But if I was putting together a Branham big board and we were just drafting dudes and building our own teams, like the NFL can no longer exist because they got into smelling salt trouble or something, and like they make us general managers of the league, I would have Nico behind Brian Thomas Jr. and Malik Nabers on my big board. And that's not a slight on Nico. People are like, oh, you're a hater, blah, blah, blah. No, I still think Nico's a top 10 receiver, but I don't think he's ahead of Nabers and BTJ.
It's interesting. I kind of lean Nico over both of them right now. But again, you know, at the end of their careers, who's going to have better numbers?
See, that's also not the armor. That's not really the conversation either.
See, I just look at the name of the list. It's just called top 100 players. It's not, you know, most productive, biggest stats. And I don't know. I take it as most talented. And I for that reason, I think of these four, if any of them miss, I think it's Nico. Like, I don't think people would rank Will over Danielle Hunter. I think Stroud's on there with what we've seen with the QB list. Stingley obviously has to be there. I think Nico could be getting snubbed. If Brian Thomas Jr. and Malik Nabers are already on there, I think Nico could be left off.
I'd be shocked, man.
I would be too, but of the four, if we're saying which one's most likely to be left off, I think it's Nico.
So you're gonna you think that
CJ and Danielle make it?
Yeah.
And Nico could not.
You think Ladd McConkey's gonna make the top 100 and Nico's not? Like, Ladd McConkey was 100.
I do think also that people, because again, we're talking about players, we're starting from the point that they don't know ball, right?
That's true.
I think players sometimes are slow to forget a guy like Nico basically doing nothing for the first 2 years of his career, whereas Malik Nabers comes in the league, you know, 109 catches. Brian Thomas Jr. comes in 1,200 yards year one. I think that matters.
I just don't know how
I'm not sure. I'm not saying it should, but I think it does.
My argument would be more over Ladd than BTJ or Malik Nabers.
Well, I mean, Ladd came in with, 1,100 year one?
Yes, but still.
I'm just saying that sometimes that matters in the back of players' minds.
I was reading something on The Athletic where they talked about, like, this vote and stuff, and there was one player who was voting for a guy who was retired for, like, the last 3 years. It was the Browns. He was voting for the Browns offensive lineman who was a stud. What was his name?
Joe Thomas?
Joe Thomas. He was voting for Joe Thomas 3 years after he retired.
Did he?
Like, these guys, and like, they had to inform him, like, hey, man, that guy's not playing in the
NFL. So they let him vote for him twice?
No, it was just the once. It was just the once.
Oh, okay.
It was just he did it.
So he, like, didn't vote for him for 2 years.
I don't know. He might have been a new voter.
They got all the votes in, and they're tabulating. They're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, they're like, that guy doesn't play in the NFL, man. Like, he's no longer.
Shouldn't he have his vote
playing.
Taken away?
That's how, like, that's
got to be some kind of penalty.
That's why, like, the whole, like, oh, you should play before you, like, there's a lot of players who play who don't know anything.
Here's the other question: how many players really take this seriously?
I don't think there's enough voters to where, like, you would just, like, mail it in. I think there's guys that, like, are legit. Like, I don't think that you would be voting on this unless you took it seriously. Well, I say that, and the guy was voting for Joe Thomas, who had been retired. But, like, they have desire to be voters. Like, they're not just going to make you do it. You have to have a desire to do it. Okay. And they were also talking about how, like, Max Crosby, like, really takes it seriously. And yeah, I was just one of the guys who, like, does take it. Like, yeah, this is I know ball. I love football type of guy.
Because when you get them to do other things, sometimes the players would admit after the fact that they were intentionally, like, voting for guys that didn't deserve it.
Yeah. Blanker's a ball knower. Branham has a permanent address on Bad Take Boulevard. Tyler and Conroe. The National Free Thesaurus.com has Nico ranked higher. W. Blankers. Break it down to top 25. Think about it. Talking about 11 players on both sides, 32 teams. You lost me there. It was voted by the pros, not media. They should have a grasp over anybody. I don't know, man. Like, a lot of these players, they just don't keep up with. Like, think about it, though. Like, if I were a professional athlete, my job is me, right?
Yeah.
Like, my job is I'm working out every day. I'm eating right. I'm in the facility. I'm doing all these things. If I was a professional football player, I don't know how knowledgeable I would be with football. Like, I certainly would not be as knowledgeable about, like, players and their numbers if I were a player as opposed to being in radio.
Now, I will say that you get a lot of players that say that they dial into the Sunday night game, the Monday night game, when their team isn't playing. But for the most part, I agree the fact that when your job is to be a football player, you're worried about everything with your team, your job, your body, And then if you get a and after that, it's who you're playing that week and who you're going against or what you need to do. Now, are you supposed to remember and put in your memory banks everybody you've played against? And you still aren't going to play every team in the league, so there's going to be a lot you're going to miss out on from year to year.
Like, my day-to-day right now, I read so many things. So I learn about the players. I read their numbers. Yeah, I'm bragging that I'm reading. I draft a 500 best ball teams. Like, I wouldn't do that if I were in the NFL. Like, I would wake up, I'd work out, I'd eat right. I wouldn't be reading about other players, other teams. Like, I would watch the game, sure, but I wouldn't be as in the know about other players and like how good they are than I am currently. And that's not me saying I know ball. It's just I guess I'm more well-read about it than I would be.
I used this audio a couple weeks ago on the weekend show. I mean, not to bag on Shedeur Sanders, which has become common for us, but like he was on Max Crosby's podcast and Max Crosby asked him, who's your Mount Rushmore of quarterback receiver tandems? And one of the groups he threw on the list was Derek Carr and Chris Olave. So, what? Like, I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, going to the whole, like, the Joe guy was voting for Joe Thomas 3 years after he retired. Like, Shedeur Sanders is focused on him. He was focused on Colorado. Now he's focused on the Browns. He's clearly, by that answer of Derek Carr, Chris Olave, one of the best tandems of all time, not watching the rest of the league.
Exactly. Exactly. Like you just, it's not that they're dumb. It's they're not informed. Like, because they have other things to do. His job is to be a really good college football quarterback, not to talk about sports for 3 hours.
They're literally going through life with blinders on as it relates to their career. So it's tougher to keep tabs on everybody else in the league.
I would absolutely have blinders if I were a professional athlete. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just what I do. Like, I read a lot, right? Because we're going to talk about it. Like, if I were a teacher, I would immediately know way less about stuff because I wouldn't read it. I wouldn't do it anymore. So it's just different. It's like how you live your life, what you do, like what's important.
When you think of the pecking order valuable. Too, you're watching your next opponent. You're watching probably your divisional foes, if anything else, because an upcoming opponent.
That might be a reach too. Like there might be some players who don't do that.
But you're going to know the standings, and you know in order to make the playoffs, the first thing is standings who else is in your – but, like, you know who's in your division, so you know who you're either chasing or who's chasing you.
Knowing who the standings doesn't – like, if you're a corner, like, yeah, you're going to know the standings in the NFL. But if you're a corner for the Texans, it doesn't mean that you know, like, which Jacksonville defensive linemen are good.
I think if you play them twice a year and you've been in the league multiple years, I mean, you know their personnel.
I mean, you know, some might.
But you're watching the offensive
side. Some might just be junkies. Others are like, yeah, this is a job. I don't really care. Let me watch the offense. That's what I'm going up against. Never really watch their defense at all.
I guess. But, I mean, aren't you voting on both sides of the ball? Each player is voting on not just the side of the ball he plays on.
This isn't every player in the NFL that's voting on this list.
I know. But the players that are voting, aren't they voting on both sides of the football?
Yeah, they are.
So if you're a stud defensive player, you're gonna know the offense you're going up against, mm-hmm. and you're also gonna, I think, to some degree, you'll know the defensive players that you're either being grouped with or compared to.
That also could create biases. Like the Texans guy is gonna hold the division rival who he sees and is really tough on him in a higher regard than an opponent that he never plays. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of issues with this, but it's fun. How many LSU, Bama, Georgia players will be on the list? Well, if LSU, Bama, Georgia, Matt, they probably think like 150 of the top 100 come from LSU, Bama, Georgia. If you know, it just means more. Was Nico on the list last year? So I actually pulled up the list last year. Nico was not on the list last year, so that probably doesn't bode well for Nico. Mm. Although I still think he'll be on here. Stingley was also not on the list.
He will be.
But he will be. Danielle Hunter was on the list. He was 68 last year. CJ Stroud, you want to guess?
He was 75.
Uh-uh.
Higher?
Uh-huh.
Higher, isn't closer to one?
Yes.
Oh, 41.
Higher.
36.
Higher.
25.
Higher.
18.
Damn. A little lower. 20.
Wow.
He was pretty
he's
dang high.
He's on the list.
He's on the list.
He was pretty dang high. Aggie Mac comparison is, do you all listen to or watch other Houston sports shows? Probably some, but not a lot. I think it's a really good comp. Like, that's because I don't listen to a single one.
No.
I'll listen to them when they interview people. Like, I'll go. Right. Like, I went on the way to work today. I went and listened to Dana with Salisbury. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'll pick and choose interview. Like, if when Casario is on with PP on Highway to Hell, I'll go back and listen to that. But actually listen to sports radio. I don't, because I don't want it to, like, cloud my judgment or like infiltrate my take in any way. If I worked early, like if I did a morning show, I would listen. I'd listen to like on the way home, and you know if I'm on the road,
I hear our station because it's always on the radio. It's dialed. I mean, it's programmed in. But other than that, I'm listening to Texans radio because they're going to have Casario, they're going to have D'Amico, they're going to have players on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, I'm going to listen to the interviews with Espada and with Dana.
I don't listen to the Espada ones as much. I probably should, though. Probably should. I'm sure he gives some info every now and then. Y'all really think y'all know more than the pros? About certain things, absolutely. Like, I guarantee you that I would know, like, the stats of players, and this is very nerdy, but I guarantee you that I would know the stats of players more accurately than 90% of any sport.
It's the scope and spectrum. It's what we were just talking about. It's the fact that we're watching. Yeah, we watch the Texans, and they're our top priority. But we're also, for a variety of reasons, fantasy football included, we're watching the entire league. We're watching the stories that are standing out. So our scope and our spectrum is broader than a player who's only worried about himself, his team, his opponent that week, and then maybe his division.
Yeah, I mean, now, like, getting through the A-gap with, like, outside leverage, no chance. You know, how to, like, bump and run coverage against, no chance.
Best coverage on down and distance.
Nuanced sports things? Yeah, I could. You yahoos think Houston has 10% of the league's top 50 players? Four wouldn't be 10% of 50, my guy. That's some Aggie math. No offense to Aggies.
Aggie math or Aggie math?
I don't think that the Texans have five players. I think they have four. Four is not 10% of 50.
Man.
What do we get? I always brag about the Hive, too. How sophisticated the listenership we have.
Who's a fat guy.
But you know what?
You can't let one guy living in his mother's basement.
That's a great point. Well, it's one bad apple.
That's right.
It's one bad apple, one bad mathematician. Josh from Philly, you putting Nico over Devontae Smith?
Yes.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Yes.
No doubt. I would put Nico over both equal receivers. I know that I probably have an anti-AJ Brown, non-bias.
Yeah, I wouldn't go with you on AJ. I would go with you on
Devontae. Wouldn't go Nico over AJ?
No.
I think you're nuts.
Nico over Waddle?
No doubt.
Oh, easy. Yeah, easy.
Waddle scares me a little bit this year.
He's been dinged up, too, huh?
Scared me last year.
He wasn't great last year. Tua, what kind of season's he going to have? The Dolphins, man. They're combustible.
They could be a team that could capsize.
I think so, too. Like, if McDaniel holds him above water and, like, gets him in the playoffs, what a job. Like, I coach of the year because I think they're on the brink of just melting down. Travis Hunter can't hold Brian Thomas Jr.'s jockstrap. I would agree, but I am curious about them as a duo. Like Travis Hunter's so fascinating because I do not know what to expect with that dude.
And here's the thing. When that statement is easy to make until you start breaking it down and saying, but could Travis Hunter defend Brian Thomas Jr.?
Oh, it'd be a good matchup.
Yeah. So that's what I'm going to say. Maybe he's not the receiver that Brian Thomas Jr. is, but maybe he's a good enough to defender to defense Brian Thomas Jr.
Mm-hmm. Aggie Matt, scope and spectrum is smaller for you all, but only because you aren't a national, so we don't want to hear much about other teams. I mean, I don't watch any Major League Baseball outside of the Astros. Very, very rarely do baseball outside of the Astros. I never watch an NBA game outside of the Rockets, unless it's playoffs, then I'll watch both. I watch every NFL game. If I can't watch it, like, obviously I can't watch every game live, but I watch Red Zone Channel, second TV setup when the Texans are playing, any standalone NFL game, that one's on. NFL is just a different animal. The NFL is so different compared to the other two major sports, pro sports.
I'm with you on NFL, but I'm also watching other NBA and Major League Baseball games.
If you're a corner, you watch receivers. That's from Total Dallas. Some of them. It depends. Like, if you're going up against them, you should be watching them. But if you don't have that team on your schedule, like, if you're the Texans and you're playing the Falcons and you don't play the Falcons, Stingley might not watch Drake London that year at all.
Okay, but also, do you think that if you're a corner in the NFL and you aren't playing Sunday night, your game is over with? Whether you get together with your buddies or
some guys escape and don't watch it.
But you're at the house and you put the game on.
It depends on who you are.
But I think that if you are watching the game, regardless, okay, let's just say you are a player not playing and watching the game. I think you're probably focused on the position you play and who's either playing that position and or who's going up against that position.
I would agree. I just think you might be overestimating how many football players, whenever they get away from football, watch football.
I think there's a lot.
I mean, I think there are some. I think there are some that don't.
The position you play matters too.
I think there's some that are they're going to go dinner with their wife and kids. Like everybody's different.
Yeah,
everybody. Like some people get away completely, and just want to focus on them. Like it's case by case. Israel, just because you're on the radio doesn't mean you're an expert. I know more than you. I'll put money on it. I agree with you, Israel. I think you know ball, and I do not. I think you know way more ball than I do. I never made the claim that I know more than listeners. I said I know more like nuanced things than some professional athletes. Like if you're talking baseball players, just baseball players, I bet you I could be more accurate statistically with just random players around the league than other baseball players would. Now, that doesn't mean I can hit a fastball. It doesn't mean I know what's coming on a 1-2 pitch from Sandy Alcantara. I'm talking about a very nuanced thing.
I think Israel's out of his mind. And that's just too long ago.
No, Israel's a smart guy. Clear example.
The fact that he thinks he knows more than you.
He does. Israel knows more than me.
Well, then you would agree to that.
I appreciate you having my back, Blanker. He's a good teammate. But Israel knows way more than
I do. What do you say, Brian?
I'm just making the point on batting average for Cam.
Clear example of y'all not knowing ball. Nico over A.J. Brown is a clown take. Agree to disagree,
man.
Cam's
going to win Rookie of the Year, Brian. Just remember that.
Y'all don't watch as much football as you may think. Y'all don't know about the Eagles players just because of Nico over AJ.
Brian said Jeremy Brown over Nico. Yeah, I take AJ Brown over.
Congratulations,
Nico.
You curried favor with that texture. I would take Nico over both Eagle receivers. Sorry, man. Sorry. Saquon Barkley is the best player on that offense.
Taylor Trammell, player. Just ask Israel.
I do like Taylor Trammell. I'm on Israel's side of the Taylor Trammell conversation. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HR&P, listener line. Cash them or trash them. What are you cashing? What are you trashing with the bees? That's next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. What I'm cashing is Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston is the best place to go for a little getaway. You're getting a little bit too many meatballs on your spaghetti, and it's blowing your Wednesday afternoon. Tons of meatballs in Miami. You need to escape the stress, the anxiety, whatever's causing you stress and anxiety, and get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Escape the city and enjoy the relaxing great outdoors from open green spaces, wildlife you don't see in the city, beautiful, majestic trees that you get nowhere else, and also some of the best fishing in Texas. You can't beat it. They have a catch-and-release pond right there in the middle of their property. They have Two Creeks, obviously. It's in the name, Two Creeks Crossing Resort. That's some really good fishing as well. So get on out there if you like to drop a line in the water. Or you can hike on their 92-acre property, do some kayaking, play some pickleball, hang out by the pool with a drink. That's fine, too. And it's only 90 minutes from Houston. You can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. I can get off work today and be up there before the sun goes down. That's how close it is. You don't have to haul across multiple states to get to your vacation spot. You don't have to go to the airport and take the kids through TSA. That's so fun. You're there in 90 minutes, and your weekend getaway awaits. Two Creeks Crossing Resort, always taking care of their visitors. We were out there a couple of months ago. They had food trucks both nights that we were out there. They had some live music on a Saturday night. We stayed in the treehouse. Branham family loved the treehouse. But aside from the treehouse, they have the glamping. They have wonderful cabins. If you have your RV, they have perfect RV hookup spots. They have the perfect stay for everybody. So book that stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.